How do I buy tickets for that show? Where is the closest restaurant with a view? My kids are with me. Is there an age restriction for that attraction?
These are just some of the questions that the new Vegas Near Me app will answer for you. Vegas Near Me quite literally takes the guesswork out of planning your next Las Vegas trip. It is so helpful.
With constantly updated information, business hours, menus, ticket prices, parking costs, Vegas Near Me is a one-stop shop.
It really is. And here's the deal. It's free and you don't have to sign up, become a member. It is simple. Download Vegas Near Me today from the Apple App Store or from Google Play. If it's fun to do or see, it's on Vegas Near Me.
It's episode 186 of Vegas Revealed. A cyber attack shuts down most IT operations for a major casino group. What we know and if your information could be at risk.
Then he's the man. Singer Aloe Black is our guest. Why he's coming to town and why you should go see him. Plus his take on Las Vegas and what he does when he visits.
I tell you, it's the shows. You know, I'm not much of a gambler.
And we attend Lady Gaga's jazz and piano show at Park MGM. We also chat with her talented band leader, Brian Newman.
It's been amazing, you know, I mean, to be able to go from the stage with Gaga, the big stage with a 30-piece orchestra, with arrangements that me and my boys have written, you know, hear a band of that caliber play that kind of music, right into our late night show with special guests and burlesque.
Plus some entertainment updates from George Strait to David Blaine.
All that and a lot more this week on Vegas Revealed.
Let's spin that wheel.
Welcome to Vegas Revealed, episode 186. I'm Sean McAllister here, along with Dana Roselli. And Dana, it has been quite the week
here.
In Las Vegas.
Things just keep happening. Every time we're all peaceful and settled, you know, like we had that whole monsoon thing the weekend before, it's like, boom, busy weekend and busy week. The week did not start off well for Las Vegas. Well, really for MGM as a whole, because MGM obviously owns properties all across the country. And this cybersecurity issue that happened has affected all their properties.
Yeah, MGM Resorts International was impacted, is still being impacted by what they're calling a cybersecurity issue. And it's something where almost immediately, as a preventative measure, they shut down most of the systems that are attached to online processes, which is pretty much everything. Yeah. We're talking credit cards, slot machines, reservations, even room keys are electronic now and connected to this, you know, network of information.
I feel for the staff. I mean, I feel for the people that want to gamble and can't get in their room as well. I feel bad for everyone. It's a big issue and it affects everything. And it was so weird to go to their websites and look and like every single property and just MGM Resorts International as a whole, their main website was just, you know, nope, call us.
Yeah.
We are not functioning at the moment. And it lasted so long.
Yeah. I mean, reservations being taken by phone, the old way of doing things. You know, people were being referred to external websites to buy tickets for things like Golden Knights games, that kind of thing. Slowly, it seems as though, as of our record time, MGM Resorts have been able to start getting things back online. But at the moment, the FBI and the Nevada Gaming Control Board are investigating this issue. As of this moment, we've not heard who is responsible for this, and we have not heard how widespread the issue is.
Right. And, you know, we are recording this actually very early in the week because we have some company coming in. So there are going to be changes. This is not up to the minute information, but pay attention to our socials, MGM socials. to make sure that you had the very latest on what's happening. My email was part of a breach recently. I want to say like a year and a half, 2 years ago, and it said it was from an MGM website. So they gave me free identity protection for a year, which was great. I haven't had any issues, but sad to see something like this happen again. And we are seeing online that people are noticing on their statements like different kinds of charges from their BetMGM, but like, are you at risk? We don't know. And of course, again, we're just seeing things like that on Twitter. It doesn't mean that it's confirmed. It could be someone just saying that. I don't know.
Well,
but they're screenshots.
Right. And it's better to be safe than sorry at this point. If you are an MGM player, if you have stayed at an MGM property, if you are a part of BetMGM, it's a good idea to go to your accounts, make sure everything looks okay, but also sign up for that monitoring service, the identity theft monitoring, and make sure that there are people out there looking out for you.
Yes. I hope that this is cleared up by the time our podcast drops, because it's a headache for everyone wanting to either enjoy their vacation, book their vacation, and then, of course, for all the staff and employees at MGM. What a mess.
Yeah, although it seems like it is a very broad issue impacting all of MGM Resorts properties across the country, not just here in Las Vegas.
Right.
So, yeah, we hope that the damage is minimized, the impact is small. That is the hope.
Yes. All right. Well, before we continue on, we got a lot more to talk about. We just want to quickly thank our sponsors, Hotworks Infrared Fitness Studios. I go there all the time. Recently, I did a post, Sean, and I got a big response of people asking me a lot of questions. So I like that. Feel free to reach out and ask me questions. But somebody said, how hot is it in the infrared sauna? And I was like, well, you control it. So you're not like locked down to anything. I put it at 125 degrees because that's what they recommend. But they say if you can't handle it or you're starting out, just, you know, put it lower. It's all manual. You are not locked in and there's not a door that's going to close and lock you in and you're not allowed out. This is all at your own pace.
And I know you were on one of those foam rollers.
Oh, I love them for my back. I hear it all crack. It's great.
That's one. Oh, I need that.
Stretch the legs. It breaks everything up. Yeah, it's really, really good.
I need a Hotworks hot roller session foam roller session in my life.
You do.
Get this lower back pain out of there.
We have more information also coming up a little bit later in the podcast.
Also, we want to thank Vegas Near Me, the only app you need for your Vegas visit, available in the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store. It is a concierge in your pocket. If it's fun to do or see, it is on Vegas Near Me.
That's right. All right, let's get to Ed Sheeran. He just caused quite a ruckus on the weekend in Vegas, right? He was performing over at Allegiant Stadium. I was excited. I was actually thinking, like, should I go see Ed? I think he's really good.
You were even looking up tickets.
I was. And I was like, should I? Shouldn't I? And then we were kind of busy. But anyway, he had a line of people waiting outside of Allegiant Stadium, and ended up canceling the show very last minute. They couldn't let the crowds in because they were still kind of setting up the floor, like the concert, what do you call it?
The stage.
The stage, yeah. and then the rigging, and the different, he has these like towers that kind of lean. I don't know, they kind of look like almost like a guitar pick or something. But anyway, they were still setting that up, and they needed to, you know, make sure that it was done right. So people were waiting outside for a very long time. It was a very hot day in here in Las Vegas. So that's where it all started. People started sounding off, like, let us in.
Yeah, well, and what ended up happening is it was a big safety issue, and they could not let people in because as that stage setup was going on, the staging was slipping on the floor inside Allegiant Stadium. So it was a safety risk, and they had to end up calling off the concert less than an hour before Ed Sheeran was set to take the stage. And of course, an entire arena full of people were waiting outside to get in. It was 100 degrees outside.
Oh, yes.
And there wasn't really a ton of shade for people to shelter in.
No. And, you know, you have to, the bag requirements, you have to only bring like a little bag or wallet. So people don't bring bottles of water with them, really. And you also don't think you're going to be waiting in line that long.
Right.
So it really caused a lot of issues with, you know, people saying, you know, there's people fainting out here or people passing out. And I don't know to what extreme that was. Again, these are things that we hear on Twitter. We talk about them. We report them. But we do not have complete confirmation. I don't want to be like there's dozens of people that fainted. Exactly. If they didn't, is right. My point. You know, it's hearsay. It's what people are saying that we're in line. I probably believe them. But so we were just saying, you know, it might be a good idea to have maybe some more vendors out front just in case, some Gatorade, some water. People said there was water, but then at one point it was little cups at warm. And then they were selling water, I guess big bottles for like $10, but there was only like one area. Mm. So you don't want to hop out of line, walk away. So anyway, it was a big mess. Ed Sheeran moved his show to October 28th though. So you can still go see him.
Yes. So that is the update, for Ed Sheeran. Unfortunately.
Yeah, I know. And poor, you know, Ed is just like, people are sounding off on Ed. I think people understand now, but it's safety. It has nothing to do. He's the face of the show, right? It's his show.
Well, he was there. He was ready to go on.
Yeah, he was ready.
He was taking pictures with fans who were inside early for meet and greets. Mm-hmm. He even popped over and did a surprise for a couple who was getting married at one of the wedding chapels here in Las Vegas. So Ed was ready to go, but it was a safety issue with the staging that caused it. And when it's that kind of thing, it's a no-go.
And I was reading that he signed as a witness on that couple's.
Yeah, he did.
And I love that. Can you imagine?
That's great.
I hope they're fans of Ed Sheeran or like his music, you know?
Well, and they looked shocked the entire time that he was in there. The groom, the bride looked ecstatic, and the groom looked like he had no idea what the hell was happening. It was kind of funny.
Yeah, Ed took advantage, and apparently he sang a new song that's coming out soon, so he took a little moment to also promote that.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Good for Ed. Hey, we have news on David Blaine. You may recall he had his residency over at Resorts World. That came to a close, but David Blaine is coming back to Vegas.
Yeah, he's going to be over at the Encore Theater at the Wynn Las Vegas, a little bit smaller than the Resorts World Theater, so it's going to be more of an intimate show. And it's called David Blaine Impossible. We wondered what happened with the Resorts World show. And then now we were talking, we're like, but it was really good. And I feel like he has a place here in Las Vegas for continued shows. So we're glad to see he's going to be over at Encore. I think the theater will obviously provide a very intimate experience, like we mentioned. And he's going to, you know, maybe change some things up. And I think it'll be great. He's going to kick it off New Year's weekend. Okay, so keep that in mind. A bunch of shows that weekend. And then he has 12 dates announced through May 11th. So you have plenty of chances to see David Blaine over at Wynn Las Vegas.
Old habits are hard to break, aren't they? Another entertainer who we've become very familiar with here in Las Vegas is country icon George Strait. Mm-hmm. He had his Straight to Vegas residency for a long time over at T-Mobile Arena. That came to a close, but we just got word that he's coming back with a supersized show. This one is a touring show, though.
Yeah, and he's going to be with Chris Stapleton and Little Big Town, so it sounds like it's going to be incredible. George Strait's tickets go on sale September 22nd for the Allegiant Stadium show. This show is not till December 7th of 2024, though, so keep that in mind.
Plan ahead.
But he sells quick.
Oh, he sold out every single show at T-Mobile Arena.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be great. And so if you want to get George tickets with Chris Stapleton, with Little Big Town, Straight to Vegas, they're calling it like times 10 at Allegiant Stadium. Make sure you do that. Tickets go on sale September 22nd.
Yeah, that's going to be a great show. And aside from the stars that we see performing up and down the Las Vegas Strip in residency and touring shows, there are some other celebrity performances that kind of fly under the radar because these stars are performing at nonprofit and charity galas across Southern Nevada.
Right. So there's one coming up on October 13th, and it's the University Medical Center Foundation's Evening of Hope Gala. This is the second year they're doing this. And it's going to be anchored by the talents of Tony winner Idina Menzel and also Grammy-nominated artist Aloe Black, who we just absolutely love. So we said, we got to get Aloe on the phone. Can we make it happen? And we did.
And we did. So we talked to Aloe Black about why he signed on to perform at this benefit show and his love for all things Vegas.
Hey, Aloe, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Listen, we were just listening to a few of your songs and thinking, this guy needs a Vegas residency.
Bad. We need a bad.
I would so love to do that. The Vegas shows are my favorite part of going to Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you have just the charisma and the voice and the feel of what Vegas needs. So we hope to see you doing a permanent residency eventually. But for now, you're going to be in town for a very important cause.
Yeah, it's the UMC Evening of Hope benefiting the UMC Children's Hospital. What do you have planned for this performance? And obviously it's such a big, important night for the Children's Hospital here too.
Absolutely. Well, for me, performing and entertaining is what I love. And I want to make sure that the audience feels motivated, inspired, and they feel joy, and they feel like their hearts can give a little bit more to this, you know, the critical life-saving care provided by UMC. That's really what I want to make them dance, sing, clap their hands, and empty their pockets, basically.
Yeah. Well, listen, we do have so many, you know, headliners in Las Vegas, but it's nice to have talent hit the stage that you can't see currently every weekend on the Strip. So why did you take part in this? Why did you decide to take part in this? Is it something that's near and dear to your heart?
So, yeah, when I signed a deal, I knew that I wanted to use music for positive social transformation. Any opportunity that I can get to sing, you know, in honor of the people who are doing great work for children, for communities, I'm going to be there.
And obviously, as an artist, being up on stage, sharing your work, seeing the feedback from the audience while you're up there, that's always a great thing. But is it even more special when there is a cause behind what you're doing?
Absolutely. It makes it so much more special. I think about artists like Bono, right, for instance. Mm-hmm. Who uses his voice in that way. Lady Gaga does this really, really spectacularly throughout her career. She's always been championing causes. And so when you know that you're entertaining an audience, that's one thing. But when you know you're doing it and the money that is being raised is going to help the lives of the most vulnerable, it adds the cherry on top.
Yeah, it's a good thing to be doing. Hey, I love the theme too. It's the Big Apple to Las Vegas. And have you worked with Idina Menzel before?
You know what? I have not worked with Idina Menzel before. I feel like, though, we are probably kindred spirits because my kids have been singing her songs for years, and now I pretty much have every lyric memorized.
You're going to have to whip out your phone.
Absolutely. It's going to make me a cool dad.
Either that, or is there going to be any payback for constantly having those lyrics running through your head?
No, not at all. I mean, you know, she's a brilliant singer, performer, artist, writer. I think that it's going to be a great show.
Yeah. Listen, and you have so many hits, and you were just saying you do love Vegas shows. So what do you like about Las Vegas? Anything you do when you visit here? Have you seen any shows here recently that you enjoy, you want to share with our listeners?
Yeah, just last month, you know, my wife and I took played hooky from parenting and gave the kids my mom as the sitter. And we went to go see Adele at Caesar's Palace. A few months, I think it was late last year. I can't remember exactly. I went to go see Imagine Dragons at the Dolby Live.
Oh, yeah.
Got some tickets and planning to go see the O at the Bellagio. Been on, you know, text messaging and emailing back and forth with Formula One, trying to figure out when I can go check out one of their shows, maybe even perform while they're there. And the other one I want to see is Usher, but my wife says no, she needs to go with her friends. So there's that. But I tell you, it's the shows. You know, I'm not much of a gambler. Mm-hmm. I have friends out there who are also musicians, Steve Aoki, and you know, people who perform and do nightclubs.
Right.
Other than that, though, it's mainly going to the concerts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. So are you looking forward to F1 then? I mean, obviously that's going to take over Las Vegas, and you want to be here for that?
Absolutely. I'm trying to, honestly, looking at my schedule, like which ones are going to be the most convenient for me to be at.
Right.
And so I want to check it out, and I'm fascinated about process. So like, how do you shut down this a city like Vegas to make this happen?
Yeah, we're curious about that too.
We know there's a lot of construction right now, but we're getting through it. We're getting through it. It's looking amazing. It's going to be really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. Hey, what are you working on right now? What do you got going? We were just listening to some of your music.
look, I'm always making songs. And in the next few days, actually 7 days, I'm releasing a song called Never Let You Down. It's a song that I wrote inspired by the great work of Big Brothers Big Sisters of America. This is the kind of project that I'm doing next. Every song is inspired by a nonprofit organization that is doing massively positive work for the community, for youth, and just to uplift Americans and people around the world. So, you know, I've got a long list of nonprofit organizations, and if you guys know of more, please send them my way. I'm adding everything into consideration, and I want to keep doing this for the rest of my career.
I love that.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that is great. What a great idea, and how inspiring. People want more music to be inspired and more emotion, you know? I mean, I'm not saying music right now isn't good, but it's when you hear a good song and you feel it, it really, I don't know, it sticks out more than ever to me. It just feels like there's a big pool of music out there that, I don't know, it's listen, not hitting right.
I got you. You know, a lot of what works is, you know, kind of the sex, drugs, rock and roll, yeah, violence and that kind of thing. But I think there, to balance the darkness, there needs to be light. And so, you know, artists like myself, I look at Bill Withers and Joni Mitchell and James Taylor. Those are my heroes from the past. And I want to keep that light shining, right? So here I am trying to do the best I can. And at the same time, glean the stories from organizations that could use the visibility, the amplification, and magnify those stories so more people will donate and get involved.
Yeah.
Well, that's such an amazing thing. Thank you for doing that with your career, and also for helping out Southern Nevada UMC Children's Hospital at the Evening of Hope, expected to raise $1 million at the gala coming up here. So,
oh, only a million?
I mean, that's the baseline.
That. Come on.
That's a starting point.
We've got Ella Black there. Okay, we're going over a million. That's the goal.
Let's do 5, 10. What do you want it to be? What's the goal?
I'm going to have to sing, I need a dollar. That's what I need. I might have to push it up to $10 million.
I love it. Keep raising the bar.
All right. Well, everyone can get their tickets to see Ella Black at the fundraiser that's coming up here. And I know it's going to be a great time. Where can we get this new song that's coming out? Is it going to be available across digital platforms, everything?
Yes, I'm absolutely going to just, you know, push it in every direction. It'll be available on all the platforms, and I'm trying to get to as many people as possible, because the work of this particular organization, Big Brothers Big Sisters, is amazing.
Yeah, definitely. Listen, Elle, thanks so much for joining us. We hope to see you in Vegas outside of this fundraiser, hanging out, and maybe we'll see you live on the Strip sometime soon.
Yeah, we can't wait to announce your residency.
Yes, thank you. I'm looking forward to that, too.
If we broker that deal, do we get like a little commission or what?
Not a little commission. We're gonna work on a handsome gift. Absolutely.
I love it.
Well, we're at work right now. We're sending text messages as we speak.
Yeah. Right. Listen, on. Have a beautiful day. Thanks for joining us and taking the time.
Appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
Great conversation with Ella Black. Love him. Such a fun guy to talk to. Tickets are available if you want to go to this gala. It's UMCSN, so think Southern Nevada, .com. UMCSN.com. If you'd like to go, again, it is on October 13th.
I'd love to see him become a headliner.
Yeah.
That would be great. Another headliner who we just had the pleasure of seeing is Lady Gaga.
Oh my gosh. Her jazz and piano show, I have heard about for a very long time. I never was able to make it over there, so it was my first time seeing it. And let me tell you, she blew me away. I expected it to be good. I saw her other show. What was it? Enigma?
Enigma, yeah.
Yeah. That was great, too, and I loved it. But, you know, she blew me away. It was better than I even expected. I loved even the videos in between her outfit changes. I learned something. I thought they were so cool. Well done. It was such a throwback Vegas show with a little bit of edge, a little bit of emotion. It was funny, and I just thought it was fabulous. And the band and the orchestra, it was amazing.
And people dressed up for it, too.
Oh, yeah.
It was an occasion to go and see Lady Gaga's jazz and piano.
Her outfits were spectacular as well.
Incredible.
Yeah, and the covers that she did, she made them her own, but they were still, like, they didn't bother you. Sometimes when people do covers of certain songs, old Vegas songs, you're like,
didn't quite hit right.
Right.
Lady Gaga does it right. It was fabulous.
Yeah, she's phenomenal. So is her entire band that she has up there, live performers backing her up there on that stage. So it's just that big band orchestra kind of vibe, and it's fantastic. That band, by the way, is led by her longtime friend and incredible musician, Brian Newman.
And if you're watching our video podcast, you can see him up there on stage with Lady Gaga. He was incredible. He's got his own show called Brian Newman After Dark that he does after Lady Gaga's show at the Nomad Library.
Yeah, and this is a late night show. It doesn't start until at least 11:30 at night, so you need to plan on that. But we were like, you know what? We need to get Brian on the line, have a good chat with him about his experience bringing this old entertainment vibe back to the Strip. Well, Brian, welcome back to Vegas. It's good to see you, man.
Thank you so much, Sean. I'm so happy to be back in Vegas. We love it here. It's such a dream come true.
I know. It's so much fun. And I know you just got done doing a bunch of shows. So tell me, how have they gone so far?
It's been amazing. You know, I mean, to be able to go from the stage with Gaga, the big stage with a 30-piece orchestra, with arrangements that me and my boys have written, you know, hear a band of that caliber play that kind of music, right into our late night show with special guests and burlesque and Angie Pontani and all these beautiful things. It's really been a dream come true. I know I don't say that lightly. You know, it's I've been wanting to be here my whole life. It's really an amazing thing to do this kind of music in this kind of setting in this beautiful city.
Yeah.
Well, and not only are you here, but you've been here for the last few years doing your After Dark show. And I mean, it's such a great vibe. It's that late night vibe. Like you mentioned, you have special guests who show up, and it definitely is a nod to like what Vegas used to be, that late night show where you never knew who was going to pop up on stage together. That was a deliberate thing to do, right? To keep the history alive there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and like I love this town. There is so many people, musicians, singers, dancers that are always coming through Vegas, and to be able to pull from a whole city of greatness like that is amazing. It's really amazing. It is like that. You know, Frank Sinatra's playing the main room at the Sands, and then you got Louis Prima and Keeley Smith in the lounge, and that was kind of the model. You know, that's kind of the model that After Dark has been since I started After Dark in 2005 in New York.
Yeah.
You know, so we've been doing this show a long time, but to be in Vegas, to have the budget, to have the showgirls, to have everything, it's really awesome. It's a really awesome thing.
You know, I was sitting there when I was watching your show, I was thinking, God, he must be exhausted. He just did a full show on stage at the Park MGM, then took a quick break and came over to the Nomad and puts on this fabulous high energy show. It's got to be tiring.
It is a little tiring, but at the same time, like, I don't know, my wife calls it like Vegas supernatural chops, you know, like, I don't know, I'm here, I get in the zone, and I'm just like, I'm ready to go. Like right after we get off stage with Gaga, I go upstairs, I crack open a Budweiser, put my suit on, change out of my tuxedo into my suit, and then I warm my voice up, and then we go right down and do the show at midnight around 11:30 or 12 at the Nomad. So it's like, I don't know, I'm ready to go, you know, I'm ready to go.
Well, and it's got to be one of those things too, where you need to just like keep going, power through. Otherwise, it's like your energy. It's like if I have a super long day, I can't take a nap. Otherwise, that like drains me and I can't keep going. But if I just like push through, it's like, come on, come on. The energy just keeps flowing.
Exactly. Coffee, beer, champagne, whatever gets you through, you know, whatever gets you through.
And it's fun too. But listen, you play so many shows in New York City regularly. I know it's a regular thing for you there. I'm just curious, what's the difference between like New York City, well, shows and also the crowd there compared to Las Vegas? There's got to be some clear differences.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, me and the boys talk about it all the time. You know, I've been with the same band for a lot of the guys over 20 years, and we played all over the world. And, you know, I feel like New York is like, it's like you're in the batter's box, like swinging with the rings on the bat, you know, like you're trying to, you know, you're warming up, but you're warming up. And then when you get to Vegas or anywhere else, it's like taking the weight off the bats and just swinging for the fences. And it really makes a big difference to be somewhere else. You know, New York is amazing. And it is like practice for the big time. You know, it's like the crowds are a little bit tougher. They've seen it all. you know what I mean? But then when we come out to Vegas, it's like something new for them. It's something new. It's something like fresh. It's something different, you know? They're both beautiful places to play, and we love playing everywhere, you know.
And being here in Las Vegas and talking about crowds, there has been kind of an ongoing conversation about what is the proper etiquette for people in the audience. So I'm curious, from a performer's point of view, like, do you like to see people standing on their feet, you know, really having the energy go through them? Or, you know, there's been talk of people like, oh, you need to, when you go to a Vegas show, you need to stay in your seat and have it be more of a show. The difference between a show and a concert.
Sean. I mean, like, I want everybody to get up. You know what I mean? Like, a concert's good, but I'm at the end of the day, I'm an entertainer, and I want the people to feel good. I want them to leaving that concert feeling like they saw something different that took them out of their lives for their problems, but you know, everybody's got their things. I want people to forget about that and just be in the moment. And yes, I want them on their feet. I want them standing up, dancing, whatever they want to do is cool with me. You know, concert schmonser, you know.
Yeah. Well, we can imagine. We were at a show recently where everyone was seated and they were enjoying the show, but it just didn't feel, you know, every now and then you need everyone to just stand up and immerse themselves in it. That's what I feel like I would want, but I'm not on stage. So we were curious, and I know each show is probably different. It depends maybe what kind of show you're doing.
Yeah, and it depends on like what's going on. Like last night we had, I don't know if you guys know Sky D Miles, the wonderful singing chanteuse. Oh, me too. She's one of my favorite singers, man. And she came and sang with us last night, and she had the whole crowd up. You know, it was like then, and then she had a 5-minute standing ovation after she sang Girl Crush, which is one of my favorite songs that she does. But you know, she has that tech. She has that capability to just get everybody up and get them into the moment. And that's what this music is about. It's the Great American Songbook, whether it's a 100-year-old song or a song that's by Nirvana that's only 30 years old. Like, it's like these songs can get people up, can get people out, and get people interested. You know, we don't have to change the content to make it accessible for everybody. You know,
I just had a shock to my system when you said that a Nirvana song was 30 years old.
I know.
Up with that?
I think like maybe some of maybe 35, some of the early ones. Oh, yeah.
Man, that is crazy. So, I love it.
But like you said, Sean, that's part of the American lexicon of American music. You know, to me, that's just as much of American song as Cole Porter or George Gershwin. You know, these are songs that are great. You know, anyway, Dana, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, it's okay. No. And I was just thinking, you're right. I mean, and that's the great thing. It's the different arrangements you do of all this. Everyone, you know, it's just so great to hear people actually taking older songs and making new arrangements and making it new again. And I feel like, you know, you do that a lot. What about working with Lady Gaga? How is that? I'm sure a lot of listeners want to know.
Oh man, it's really the best. I mean, like I said earlier, to be able to play this kind of music, you know, on stage with her and this beautiful 30-piece orchestra, it's just incredible. And she's amazing to work with. And I'm not just saying that, she really cares about the music. She cares about the people that are involved. She cares about her team. You know, it's not just the 30 musicians on stage that make this happen. It's the 50 or 100 other stage hands and producers and production managers and, you know, all that kind of stuff that really make this thing work, and her level of commitment to all of us is unheard of in this industry. I think, you know what I mean? She really cares, and in turn that makes us really care about what we're doing, you know? So my goal as band leader and arranger and orchestrator for this show is to give her a bed of roses to lie in so that she can sing whatever she wants to sing and feel comfortable and feel happy. And the same thing for the audience. You know, it's a really a tremendous thing to be able to work with her and over these past 10, you know, she said on stage last night, we met when we were 19, when she was 19. I mean, that was a long time ago, we've been playing and hanging out together for a really long time. So it's crazy to me to be able to I gotta pinch myself sometimes. It's not lost on the blue collar kid from Cleveland. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. This is something very special to be doing in New York. And honestly, I don't think there's been an act that's done what she's done in this town since Frank Sinatra. Just with the orchestrations and the way the show's presented, it's heavy, man. It's straight to the wall. You know what I mean? We're not pulling any punches.
Well, we're glad that you are back with Lady Gaga and Jazz and Piano over at Park MGM, and glad that After Dark is still going strong in the Nomad Library. It's a great time. Can't wait to be back over and see you, man.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Dana, Sean. Thank you so much for having me. This has been amazing. Always good to talk to you guys. And I hope we let me know if you guys want to come out to the show.
We will. We'll be there. We'll take a nap first, but we'll be there.
Yeah, I'll put you on the list.
Love it. Brian, thanks so much.
Oh, thank you so much, guys. Thanks, Dana. Thanks, Sean. Thanks, Vegas, LA. Have a good time, guys. All right. Thank you.
So yeah, we highly recommend both shows, Lady Gaga and Brian Newman After Dark.
Such a good time. Let's do some tips.
All right, Sean, this is something you discovered recently and you went, hey, did you know? And I thought, well, let's let everyone else know.
So Lupo is a restaurant over at Mandalay Bay. If you've been to Las Vegas anytime in the last 25 years, you've seen it. At Mandalay Bay. It's a Wolfgang Puck restaurant. Well, Lupo is now closed.
Yeah.
And I was sad to hear that because I've been there so many times and it's always a great spot. But the good news is that it's making way for a new Wolfgang Puck restaurant. It's called Karama. It's expected to open in January of 2024, so just in time for Super Bowl to be held here.
Good.
And this is also an Italian restaurant, but it's inspired by Wolfgang Puck's mother, who was a pastry chef and who really inspired him to break into the culinary world.
Right. I love that. And I'm so glad that this space is just going to be another Wolfgang Puck restaurant.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
I love his restaurants. And we don't have, you know, we have a few of them here in town, but I feel like we need more. So I'm happy that there's going to be another, you know, replaced Wolfgang Puck restaurant that's going to go in there. Because you're right, Lupo's just been there forever. It's just a staple.
Yeah. And so this Karama is supposed to have different stations inside. There's going to be a pastry bar in there as well.
Great.
So a lot of Italian classics. He grew up kind of on the Austria-Italy border. So he was very close to Italy growing up before he moved to France. So a lot of this is the inspiration from his childhood, which will be neat to see.
He's so cool.
He's the best.
I interviewed him this year on the red carpet for the Keep Memory Alive gala, and we met him poolside at the Venetian for a dining. It was like a nighttime dining event. Remember?
Yeah, I remember.
And I love it. There was a line of people to meet Wolfgang. He was like just chilling there with like a glass of red wine. All right, I'll take my picture. And we got to eat your vegetables. He's great. So I'm glad that that will be replaced with another Wolfgang restaurant. All right, let's talk more restaurants. So you and I went to a brunch on Saturday and Sunday.
It was a brunch weekend.
We want to tell you about the Casa Playa brunch over at Wynn Las Vegas. It's actually in the Encore side, but they are doing a new weekend brunch. They normally open just for dinner at 5:30. So they said, you know what? We're going to do a Saturday brunch. And this is 10:30 to 2:30, and it's going to be priced at $84.99 per guest. So keep that in mind. But you get a menu in front of you, and you can order whatever you want off of it.
And it's all you can eat.
All you can eat.
And they're the steak and eggs. Even if you went and ordered all the steak and eggs that you could eat, I mean, that would be worth it right there.
Right. And then I'm going to call it taco bar, but I know there's a fancier name for it, was amazing. I mean, the woman there was like taking the corn, you know, dough and like flattening it and then putting it on this round thing that heated it up, and you were like watching your tortilla made right in front of you.
Yeah.
That was really cool. And then all the meats that they had there as well.
There was not a single thing on that menu that was not bursting with flavor.
Yeah.
Including The bar of Agua Frescas,
yes,
that they had, different flavored waters that come included in the price of the meal. Again, unlimited refills. It was just delicious.
It really was delicious. Our server was amazing and so knowledgeable. She was wonderful as well. You had like a Bloody Mary. Oh, what was that espresso drink you had at the end?
Oh, it was... I don't remember the name of it, but it was there. It was like a Mexican version of an espresso martini.
Okay.
And she was like, if you want an espresso martini, I'm going to bring you what we make here because it's delicious.
Yeah, it was.
And she was not wrong.
No. So the Casa Playa brunch is Saturdays and Sundays. Keep that in mind if you want to go check it out. There was a big long line for Encore Beach Club next to us.
Oh, boy.
So maybe you want to go there and then...
Or if you stick around long enough, you can see people stumbling out of Encore Beach. That's the real people watching right there. On Sunday, we had another brunch date over at Flanker Sports Bar and Kitchen. This is over at Mandalay Bay. They have rolled out their own game day brunch. And of course, Sunday is, well, Saturday and Sunday, both big game days, college on Saturday, NFL on Sunday. And now you can go in and get brunch over there at Flanker in and root on your favorite teams.
Yeah, and I highly recommend the crab and spinach dip. It was delicious.
It was so good.
That was really good. But what a great spot, you know? It was a great vibe. You know, light low lights, which I loved. All the game screens just lit up. Everyone be able to watch literally any area or corner you wanted to look. You could get whatever game that you wanted to watch or keep an eye on, or maybe you want to keep an eye on all of them.
Well, it was funny as we were sitting there having our meal, you could hear like different groups of people around the restaurant be like, oh
yeah.
And you have to look up and be like, oh wait, what just happened? What game is the action happening on?
Right, right. Yeah. It's right near Allegiant Stadium in Mandalay Bay. So it's right there in that sports, you know,
district,
whatever. And so it's going to be a great spot for when we have home games too. If you can't go to the game and you just kind of want to be around the energy, I think that'll be great. And then obviously just really any day for sports. And the sports book next door was busy too.
Oh, it was packed.
Yeah.
People were pulling chairs from the gaming tables out on the casino floor and setting them up to look into the sports book and watch the games.
Right. So true. And, you know, I liked Flanker's menu. It had a little bit of healthy and a little bit of greedy, you know, like the burger and
smash burger.
And then they had a nice turkey wrap and
I had a BLT.
You had a BLT.
A BLT with eggs. So it's a BLTE.
Yeah.
And there was so much bacon on the sandwich. Uh-huh. If you are a bacon lover, the BLT at Flanker is not to be missed.
Yeah, it was good. I had to take half home of my turkey wrap. It was delicious, though. Delicious. I had bacon, too. But that does it. You know, those are our tips for you. And I think that was kind of like three tips.
That was kind of three
right?
tips.
We've been like doing
a
it up lately.
A couple brunches and Lupo.
Yeah. Next week, we're going to tell you about a great thing that you can take part of in the, well, downtown Las Vegas area. And it's called Duck Duck Shed. And we'll explain what that means. But it has to do with the Neon Museum and a bunch of different things that you can take part in. If you're interested in kind of the history of Las Vegas and then also the now. Like, it's a little bit of both. So it's something really cool that they're doing. And also, there's a free attraction as well we'll tell you about. We're going to have an interview with the executive director of the Neon Museum.
Yeah, we can't wait to share that. Also, thank you to our sponsors once again, Hotworks Infrared Fitness Studios and Vegas Near Me, the only app you need for your Vegas visit.
Follow us on all our social channels. We're always updating them. We're out and about all over Las Vegas. Thanks so much, and we'll see you for 187.